Remember when I talked about True Diagnostics True Age Test? Well, I took it myself and the results blew my mind. I was very wrong. If you remember, I was worried about my brain and not my cardiovascular health. And it turns out my brain's fine, but my cardiovascular health needs work. But luckily, my biological age was really right on track with my actual age, which is good because research shows that if your biological age is even just 5 years older than your actual age, your risk of developing diseases like cancer or heart disease can jump by as much as 30 to 50%. That's a big deal, and it's completely avoidable. The good news is nearly 90% of biological aging is in your hands. It's driven by things like your lifestyle, your habits, and the environment you're in, which means that you have a lot of control over it. The True Age test didn't just give me a number. It showed how quickly my heart, brain, liver, and immune system are aging, and it was eye-opening. And I will say, I definitely picked up the workouts after I learned that my cardiovascular health isn't as good as I thought it was. The test itself was super easy and convenient. I did it from home, and it was just a quick, painless finger prick that I made Ethan do because I was too scared. You send it off in a tiny sample in a prepaid package, and in about 2 to 3 weeks, you'll get a detailed online report about your aging and health. So if you care about protecting your health and want to find out what your real age is, head over to truediagnostic.com and use my code ATTWG to get 20% off your entire order or subscription. That's truediagnostic.com and use ATTWG at checkout to get 20% off. Your future self will thank you. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you wish to ask. And then she can either type a response or use their voice to text feature, and MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy. It's something that you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. And this is something that Ethan and I had been thinking about doing with our parents. We have this podcasting equipment, so we wanted to find a way for them to tell their story. But I love this because it's so regimented. They send them a question every week, and it just makes it really easy and turnkey. And it just seems like a great way for us to get our parents' stories down so that our children and our children's children can have them. So if you're interested, check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code ATTWG at checkout for 15% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com and use code ATTWG for 15% off today. Let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges, from sleepless nights to stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends that they'll deliver discreetly right to your doorstep. And you can get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code ATTWG. It is wild how different each one of their gummies feels. Their sleepy time gummies knock me out in about 15 minutes flat with no hangovers, no grogginess, and I just wake up feeling amazing. Oh, and the Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for those days when nothing's going right and you just need to hit the reset button on your crap mood. What makes these different is how they pair THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're not going to just find gummies like this in a dispensary, or anywhere for that matter. And they have gummies for literally everything. Immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity, and sexual arousal. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code ATTWG. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember to use promo code ATTWG at checkout to save 20% on your first order.
Darkcast Network, the light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
On March 21st, 2023, 41-year-old Stephen Causey left his office at Blanchard Law to go to the bathroom. He was never seen again. 5 days later, on March 26th, a plastic surgeon named Tomas Kosowski was arrested for first-degree murder in relation to Stephen Causey's death. Steve was a friend of mine from high school, and when I found out that he was missing, I did a quick episode hoping that we would be able to get his story out there, get the information out there, and bring him home. Today, I'm coming to you with an update because though we know Steve is no longer with us, his body has yet to be found. In this episode, we're going to go over the timeline and talk about what we know so far in this case and what you can do to help. I'm Kona Gallagher.
And I'm Ethan Flick.
And this is And Then They Were Gone. Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back.
All right. So this is not going to be our normal episode. You know, if you have listened to us before, basically we cover unsolved missing persons cases. I do the research on the case. I write the script. And my husband and co-host here, Ethan, basically just reacts in real time. I didn't write a script for this one because I didn't want to. What I did do instead is make a shitload of TikTok videos trying to process all of this kind of in real time. So a lot of you may be here because you found me that way. We are ATTWG pod on TikTok, and a lot of information has come out in the past week or so about, you know, how this doctor even knew Causey and, you know, what could have possibly led to all of this happening. We do also have a lot more information about the timeline. And so when I was kind of getting all this information in, and as I mentioned, it was coming in drips and drabs, it was hard for me to keep it all straight. So I actually wrote out a timeline that put together all of the information that, you know, I was able to find. And so I wanted to go over that today because I think that it helps give context to a lot of things. And I think that giving the specifics, especially in the days, including and after Steve's disappearance, might help witnesses, you know, realize that they may have seen something, like realize that they can come forward. Because as I mentioned in the intro, Steve has yet to be found and his family desperately wants him back. We're also going to talk about Kosowski's arrest and what has been found since then, and kind of where the case stands at the moment. So like I said, it's going to be very different. If you're a regular listener to our show, it's going to be much less, you know, scripted and polished than normal. But I just think that this is still important to get out. Okay, so let's just talk about who the hell this guy is, Tomas Kosowski. So he's a plastic surgeon. He's known for basically BBLs and boob jobs. I figured I already lost you.
Yeah. No idea what BBL is.
Yeah. It's a Brazilian butt lift. So it's basically like what all the Kardashians did. Like they just got butt implants.
Okay.
So he was in Florida doing this and apparently also though did reconstructive plastic surgery. So he would work with patients to do reconstructive surgery on their breasts. So I don't know a whole lot of details about that. It may be, you know, cancer patients, for instance.
Right.
But that's kind of where this whole problem started. Kosowski was a plastic surgeon for a practice in Dunedin called Dunedin Surgical Consultants. And in 2019, he filed a lawsuit against them for damages in excess of $15,000. From what I've understood, the actual dollar amount is more like $36,000, something like that. But it's we're not talking millions and billions of dollars here, right? The issue is he claims that the practice improperly billed his client's insurance, and that led to him losing a lot of money and led to him not being able to complete services with clients, which led to clients being very unhappy and leaving him negative Google reviews, negative Yelp reviews, things of that nature, which led him to leave the practice and irreparably harmed his career, basically. So for instance, there is one patient who's named in his lawsuit. And we're going to be posting this information on our website as well. So I do have a copy of the lawsuit. And so patient who they refer to as patient one basically was in the middle of a breast reconstruction. It was supposed to be something like five procedures that she was supposed to be getting done. And Kosowski handed all the paperwork off to the billing lady and assuming, you know, that she was going to bill the insurance and everything was fine. So he wasn't really paying, you know, super close attention to it, which is completely normal.
That's not his area of expertise.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. I mean, doctors like typically do not pay attention to billing unless something happens. And so what started to happen was he finally realized he wasn't really getting paid. Long story short is, you know, he confronted the billing lady and she said, oh, yeah, you know, I'm submitting it. I'll do it. She didn't. He found out that there were many, many patients who had not been billed. And in a lot of them, it had been so long that like the insurance companies just wouldn't cover it anymore. So like he couldn't recover any of the money. So this patient one, she was, you know, in the middle of her procedures, like she was on, you know, procedure three of five or whatever. And he was like, you know, I can't continue to do all this work because her insurance isn't paying for it. And so he asked the billing lady to kind of talk to her and get everything squared away. Well, apparently the billing person just told the patient that Kosowski couldn't see her anymore. So she, the patient, got extremely upset.
Rightfully so.
Right. And came into the office one day with photos of her unreconstructed breasts, burst into the waiting room and like caused this huge scene and said that basically this doctor had, you know, butchered her and like was leaving her halfway through her reconstruction. So she then started posting things electronically. And that's kind of where this all started. Then other patients started coming out. He went to the owners of the practice, Kosowski did, and said, hey, this is what's going on. Like, this is not okay. We need to do something. They refused to do anything. You know, they refused to fire the billing person, whatever. So that led to Kosowski leaving the practice and suing the practice. Now, this lawsuit filed May 2nd, 2019, and the firm representing the defendants was Blanchard Law Firm. Kosowski started working for Blanchard in October of 2018. So he was assigned to this case, meaning he was representing the two owners of the practice and this billing lady. It's a civil case. These things take years to kind of come to any sort of resolution.
Plus COVID happened.
Exactly, right? Which slowed everything down. So this had been an ongoing process. And, you know, I've had people reach out to me who are, you know, lawyers and who knew Kosowski and knew about the situation and said that, like, for whatever reason, and I don't have any details, like, Kosowski just did not like Steve. Like, he had issues with him for quite a while. And I don't know exactly why, other than the fact that he's, you know, representing the people that he's suing, but I'm not sure. So one of these people, and I haven't been able to confirm this, said that Kosowski had filed a motion previously for professional sanctions against Kazi.
Do we know why? Like,
no.
Why professional sanctions against
I don't
them?
Know, but he filed a motion. So he apparently just really thought that Kazi was doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing, I guess. Mm. But I don't have any more information beyond that. But regardless, the case goes on and, you know, there are hearings, there are depositions, there are all of these legal, you know, processes that are taking place over time. On January 26th, 2023, Kazi and Kosowski had both previously attended a deposition at the Blanchard Law Office Suite, and the deposition became verbally contentious. After the deposition, Kosowski confronted Kazi in the men's restroom. And this is the restroom in the Blanchard Law Office that is located in the common area, basically in the lobby of the building.
Yeah.
He left the bathroom after this confrontation, but then waited. And when Kazi came out, he verbally confronted him again.
And we still don't know what the context of that
no.
whole argument was.
But, I mean, it's definitely related to the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it started during the deposition.
Right.
So it's not like they had personal issues or, you know, anything like that. But, yeah, it's he was just furious with him. And it's like, you know, so the one person who was telling me kind of about this, who's another lawyer, was like, yeah, you know, Steve was, like, concerned about it. But he didn't actually think anything was going to happen. Like, he's not even a criminal lawyer. This wasn't a criminal case. Like, he was a guy who took depositions in a civil case for, you know, $35,000, whatever it was.
Yeah.
You know, that's just not something that you think is going to end in violence. Then on March 14th, something terrifying happens. An employee at a different business located at 1501 South Belcher Road, which is Blanchard Law. Because again, just to be clear, the building that the law office is located in is an office building with several different businesses. So that's why this bathroom is in the common area. It's in the lobby. The businesses don't have their own restrooms
right.
for the most part.
Yeah.
They all kind of use this lobby bathroom. So it's just a completely different, unrelated business. But an employee called police to report a suspicious incident. She said that she walked into the utility closet, which shares a wall with the bathroom. So she probably was going to the bathroom herself and walks by this utility closet and notices that the door's ajar,
mm-hmm.
which it's, you know, a utility closet. So it's normally closed. So she thought that was odd. She went in and observed an unknown male hiding behind the door in the dark. He was wearing jeans, a loose t-shirt, and a surgical face mask.
And this door leads into the women's restroom.
No, it doesn't lead. It's near both of the bathrooms.
Oh, okay.
But it shares a wall with at least the men's room. It might share a wall with both of them. Like, it might be in between.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So she asks this guy, like, what he's doing. And he said, you know, there was a power outage. And then he just kind of booked it out of there.
And this is a full week before Steve went missing.
Yeah, this is March 14th. So police came and took her statement, and she's like, listen, this guy was creepy. There was no power outage. I don't know what he was doing in there. And so they reviewed the footage, the security footage outside. Now, there's no interior security footage in the office building,
uh-huh.
but there are plenty of cameras outside. So when they review this footage, they see this man, who she identified as the man she saw in the closet, driving away in a gray Toyota Tundra.
Which is the same style of truck that Kosowski has.
Right. Now, unfortunately, because, you know, this wasn't at the time a huge deal, presumably nobody at Blanchard Law or any of the other businesses even knew that this had happened.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not even really sure that he broke any laws by doing that.
Exactly, right? So, I mean, that's why even if they had the license plate number, like, I'm sure they, you know, didn't go after the guy or
no.
whatever.
But it shows premeditation.
Exactly.
And a lot of planning.
A lot of planning. So let's go to a week later, March 21st, 2023 at 8:34 a.m. A male dressed in jeans, a long sleeve white shirt, and a backpack arrives in a gray Toyota Tundra. He walks from the parking lot toward the main entrance for Blanchard Law. He is wearing gloves and carrying a large box on his shoulder. Now, all of this is according to surveillance video. Police have not released the actual video, so we only have the descriptions from them to go on. At 8:37 a.m., 3 minutes later, Steve Causey is seen entering the building wearing a red sweater. So the man, who is now believed to be Kosowski, arrived prior to Causey even getting to the building. At approximately 9:50 a.m., just a little over an hour later, a sensor attached to Causey's office door registers an opening and closing. So like I said, they didn't have cameras, but they did have an alarm system on their offices. Mm-hmm. And so the sensor registered his door opening and closing, and this is believed to be when Steve enters the men's restroom. His phone, car keys, work laptop, and tablet are left unsecured on his desk. He was playing music on his phone and was apparently in the middle of an email. So clearly, he just went to the bathroom, was planning on being back in, you know, a minute. March 21st, 2023, 10:22 a.m. A male wearing jeans, a blue short sleeve shirt, a backpack, white surgical mask, and hat exits the law firm. He's tugging and pulling at what appears to be a small wagon on wheels with a heavy load. The wagon has an open top and its contents appear to fill the wagon and are covered by a red or orange blanket. He pulls the wagon toward the parking lot. This is a half an hour after Steve goes into the bathroom. At 10:28 a.m., 6 minutes later, Thomas Kosowski calls into his scheduled hearing. So he had a telephone hearing scheduled for that day. Steve Causey was also supposed to be in attendance, but he does not call in. Another lawyer, Jake Pillsbury, fills in for him. Kosowski stays on the hearing and disconnects from the call at 11:04 a.m. So he's on this call, this hearing, for about a half an hour. At 11:05 a.m., 1 minute later, the driver of the Tundra is seen repositioning the cart by the truck. He struggles to get the heavy cart into the bed of the truck. Kosowski enters the building at 8:34 a.m., lies in wait for over an hour. Steve goes to the bathroom at 9:50. He does not exit the building for another half an hour, and then spends the half hour after that on the premises calling into a scheduled hearing. Like, he is taking his time.
He's trying to give himself an alibi.
Well, of course. Yeah, exactly. But he's too stupid, I guess, to realize that there are cameras everywhere watching him do all of this. The cameras outside, I'm not exactly sure where they're positioned, but it seems as though during this entire period, Kosowski kind of goes on and off camera. So, for instance, when he's taking that call for the hearing, it doesn't sound like he's on camera at that point, but comes back in the range of the camera afterwards. So then there's kind of like a missing 10 minutes. And at 11:15 a.m., the unknown male, who we now know as Kosowski, is seen on camera wearing a different shirt that appears to be gray. He walks from the parking lot to the northwest corner of the building. He looks at the building, then turns around and walks back toward the parking lot. 1 minute later, at 11:16 a.m., the Toyota Tundra pulls out of the parking spot and exits the parking lot. It makes a right turn heading northbound on South Belcher Road. The red bag or item is seen in the bed of the truck. So, you know, one of the questions that I and a lot of other people have had that has partially been, but not completely been answered, is how could he have done this in an office building in the middle of the day?
Right.
What we do know is, you know, it's post-COVID right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of offices aren't working at full staff in the office. You know, a lot of people are still working from home. So, you know, if you go into a building like this, chances are it's a lot less busy than it was in, say, February of 2020.
Yeah. And it's also early morning.
Right. Yeah. And like, so they, it's also just not offices, right? It's different businesses. Like, for instance, the woman who made the police report on the 14th works for some sort of like a, I don't know if it's a dog grooming business. It has something to do with animals. So, I mean, there's a chance they weren't even open yet, you know?
Right. Exactly.
And people were also confused as to, so it was Jake Blanchard, Steve's boss, who ultimately calls police that day and reports Steve missing. And so people were like, well, how did you not notice between the time that Steve, you know, allegedly went to the bathroom and the time that you called it in? So apparently he and another employee were like in a conference room or something working on a case that was away, and they were just kind of holed up in there working on this and just didn't know that he was gone basically for several hours. But it's still crazy to me that Kosowski was able to stay inside the building doing whatever he was doing to Steve for a half an hour without anybody else interrupting them. 11:16 a.m. is when he finally leaves the parking lot of the law office. He's caught on camera again at 11:24 a.m. It's a PSTA bus camera that sees him traveling northbound on South Belcher Road near the intersection of Gulf to Bay Boulevard. Just 20 minutes later, at 11:46 a.m., Largo police officers are dispatched to Belcher Law to conduct a welfare check. So they only missed him by a half an hour. He left the premises at 11:16, and Jake Blanchard realized something was wrong. Kazi wasn't there. All of his stuff was there, and calls police at 11:46.
That's crazy.
At 11:51 a.m., a flock camera catches the Tundra in Tarpon Springs. The wagon is seen in the bed of the truck with the contents covered by a red or orange blanket. And now Tarpon Springs is the town where Kosowski lives.
And how far away is that from Blanchard Law?
Between Blanchard Law and Kosowski's address on Seaview Drive in Tarpon Springs, it's 21.6 miles and about a 41-minute drive, according to Google Maps.
And the time difference is about a half an hour, maybe a little bit more?
Yeah, no, it seems about, 40 minutes. So he left at 11:16 and is spotted in the neighborhood by 11:58.
So he definitely just went straight home.
Yeah, that's what it seems. Yeah, so at 11:58, a neighbor security camera on Seaview Drive captures the Toyota Tundra with the wagon and red-orange blanket still visible in the bed, driving north toward 511 Seaview Drive, which is where Kosowski lives. As Kosowski's arriving home, Largo police are, you know, just getting to the law office and beginning their investigation. Officer Jerry Hunt examines the men's room. He observes a red liquid smeared on the exterior of the men's restroom door and drops of a red liquid on the single toilet stall wall to the left of the single urinal. A similar red liquid is smeared on the exterior of the toilet bowl. There is also a dark liquid on the floor of the stall that appears to have been dried and smeared in a circular motion. Hunt believes that these liquids are blood. He also detects the odor of cleaning products. So it seems as though Kosowski was attempting to clean up, but just did not do a very good job of it. March 21st at 2:33 p.m., Stephen Causey is listed as a missing person in the Florida Crime Information Center and the National Crime Information Center. So that's only 2.5 hours, basically, after police arrive at the law office. So they quickly realized something was very wrong. Because, you know, at this time, they're also starting to review the security footage.
Right.
And, you know, they see Steve go in. They never see him go out.
Right.
At 4:48 p.m. that day, footage from the same neighbor's camera on Seaview Drive in Tarpon Springs shows a red Toyota Corolla that the neighbor identifies as belonging to Kosowski, leaving the area and traveling southbound. Just 3 minutes later, the Corolla returns. Then, 7 minutes later, at 4:58 p.m., the Corolla leaves a second time. Now, it's important that to know that this neighborhood, there's only one way out. And from what I understand, southbound is not the way to get out. It's the way that leads to the park and the water.
Oh, okay.
But he's only in that area for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
So when he comes back and then leaves a second time, you know, 7 minutes later, he leaves the actual neighborhood. At 9:36 p.m., a license plate reader captures the Corolla in the area of 52195 Tamiami Trail East, Okeechobee, Florida. And this is located in the Big Cypress National Preserve. But it's also on the route from Tarpon Springs to Miami. After Kozowski left his practice in Dunedin, he ended up joining a new practice down in Miami. I have found an apartment that seems to be connected to him in Miami, but I'm not positive because it's a rental, and so I can't 100% verify that that is where he's staying when he's down in Miami.
Right.
But he has connections down there and goes down there quite often. And Miami is about like a 3.5 hour drive from Tarpon Springs.
Do we have any footage or evidence on the timeline of when he got down to Miami?
No. And we'll get to that at the end because that is actually what police are actively looking for now.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't seem as though they do have a lot of information on his whereabouts after he's caught on that license plate reader.
Forgive me for this, but they're looking to narrow down dump sites.
Right. They do note that when the Corolla is seen leaving the neighborhood at 4:58 p.m., that the back of it doesn't appear to be weighed down.
Did it appear to be weighed down when it went south towards the park?
No, they don't mention either way.
Okay.
So it doesn't seem, but it's also important to note, Steve is not a big guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's, you know, not much taller. I mean, he's probably, oh gosh, I don't know how tall exactly, but I mean, maybe 5'7", 5'8", like somewhere in there. He has a thin build.
Right. But if you put somebody in the trunk, it's going to weigh the back down differently than if it was somebody in the back seat.
Yeah, for sure.
Regardless of their size.
Yeah. But I mean, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I also not having seen the security footage, it's also to me, you know, kind of difficult to judge because sure. It's like, how good is the footage? How far away is it? You know, it's like, right. Can you really tell if it's weighed down? Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
So there's a potential dump site in the park and the water.
Right. And it should also be mentioned that Kozowski's house is on the water. He has a private dock as well.
Okay. So there's two different
potential
dump sites just in his neighborhood.
Yeah. And we're talking a large body of water too.
Mm.
March 23rd, 2023. This is 2 days after Kozowski is reported missing. And, you know, the police during this entire time are, again, reviewing it, security footage, talking to the neighbors, like basically gathering all of the information that I've talked about up to this point. And so with all of that, they're able to secure a search warrant for Kozowski's home. The initial execution of the search warrant locates the Toyota Tundra in Kozowski's garage. A presumptive test is performed on a red liquid located on the truck bed. It tests positive for blood. Luminol tests on the garage floor also test positive. Luminol reacts the same way to blood as it does to bleach. So based on the patterns that they saw on the garage floor, what they believe is that there was blood that had been cleaned up. March 24th, 2023, news of Steve Kozowski going missing, quote, under suspicious circumstances, end quote, is released to the public. The next day, Saturday, March 25th, police secure a search warrant for Kozowski's Toyota Corolla, which they believe has been utilized in an attempt to avoid apprehension and to transport evidence of the said crime to an unknown location. But we don't know about all of this yet, right? Because at this point on Saturday, we don't know about Kozowski. We don't know about what was seen on the security footage at the law office.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know any of this. So the search warrant has been executed on Saturday, but none of this is public yet. That evening, Thomas Kosowski is pulled over and the search warrant is executed. Police seize a number of items, which we'll talk about in just a moment, including several weapons, a ballistic vest, two cell phones, gloves, a mask, and nearly $300,000 in cash.
And this was in his car with him?
Yes, in the Corolla. So this is the information that was released on the news. And, you know, that actually not all of it. It really just said the ballistic vest, you know, some weapons, including brass knuckles and some other things. But the full inventory list of what they seized from this car is much, much more and paints a very terrifying picture. All right. So this is the full inventory from the Toyota Corolla. And I'm just reading this straight from the police report. Apple iPhone front center console, track phone from black bag. So he had a burner phone. Ballistic vest, black. Seat backrest, black, driver's seat. So they took his seat backrest too for, you know, to examine for evidence, I'm assuming. Black gloves, driver's door. Surgical mask, center console cup holders. License plate concealment controller, center console. Have you ever heard of this before? A license plate concealment controller?
Yeah.
What is that? I mean, I kind of get what it is like from the name, but I mean, how does it work? Like, I don't get what it is exactly.
So it's like a cover that goes over the license plate.
Uh-huh.
You have a remote control that you can basically dim it or make it impossible for police to read it.
But you, wow.
But you can turn it off so that it's not like...
Yeah, not just permanently covered so right. that if you're doing non-nefarious things, like
right.
you're not drawing attention to yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's more for like speed cameras.
Mm-hmm. Toll booths,
yeah. Things like that. Yeah, because obviously if a police officer is following you and you turn it on.
Yeah, that's not going to go well.
Yeah, they're going to pull you over for concealing your license plate.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what it's for.
Firearm, and it gives the serial number, 380. And then it says ideal conceal. Do you know what that means?
No, not 100%.
Hairnet, center console. Gloves, center console. So now we've got two pairs of gloves. Folding pocket knife, center console. Glock pistol, 9mm. They give the serial number as well. Floorboard.
Doesn't say where on the floorboard?
No.
Interesting.
Sponges, front passenger seat. Cash, $1,913. It doesn't say where. Laptop, gray MacBook, and it gives the serial number. Firearm, it gives the serial number. Sig Sauer P365 9mm. It doesn't say where that was either. USB, gray bag, $60,000 cash in $10,000 bundles, gray bag. iPad tablet, black bag with masks, weapons, tools, sedatives. And this is the black bag that was initially talked about in news reports. And that's the bag that they had brass knuckles. And the sedatives that they're referring to here are paralytics. Gun holster, $7 cash, glove box, gray bag. And it looks like it says W/J magazines?
No idea.
Yeah. GPS tracker, $220,200 cash.
So he's got cash, large sums of which are in multiple locations in the vehicle.
Exactly. Beretta pistol, and they give the serial number, 9mm M9A3. Black ballistic vest with rifle and pistol mags. License plate switching device. So I don't know what that is, if that's the same as the concealer or if that's something different. Trunk protective mat and black garbage bags. So what I find confusing about this is he's pulled over with all of these items in his car on the 25th.
Yeah.
4 days after he kidnapped Steve. Why the hell does he have half of this stuff? I mean, you know, like, okay, the money, the guns, sure, but the ballistic best, the brass knuckles, the paralytics.
All of the evidence that could be used against him.
Right.
Well, I mean, it sounds to me like he did a whole lot of prepping and planning for the initial action, and that was it. I mean, you're right. 5 days, he has a 3-hour trip, right, between his
house. Yeah, 3.5 hours, something like that.
In Miami, where he's coming across a national park.
Yeah, a preserve, yeah.
There's multiple places, both by his house.
I mean, there's the fucking ocean.
On the way to Miami, where he could have ditched all of this.
Yeah.
So it seems to me like he didn't plan out the after action.
No, not at all. And not to mention all of the blood evidence that he left in his home.
Right.
March 14th, initially, that, you know, that time that he went to the office, I couldn't figure out if it was a first attempt that didn't go well because he was discovered. But the lady who called the police never mentioned seeing a wagon or anything else like that.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning toward that more being a dry run.
Yeah, or surveillance, getting kind of timelines of when Steve would be using the bathroom.
Yeah.
Generally.
Like, yeah, and when he came in and, you know, what days he came in, maybe things like that.
Yeah.
And so, and that's a week ahead of time. So, you know, I think it's pretty safe to say that he had been planning it for at least that long.
Mm-hmm.
Likely longer. He put all of that effort in and then does like drives his own truck, which though that is the other thing. It is his own truck. He bought it back in, I want to say October, but never registered it in his name.
How do they tie the truck to him then?
Because the guy he bought it from, he registered the sale.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. So the truck has New Jersey license plates.
Mm.
I think that's what led to, you know, the 2-day difference between police starting their investigation when they were able to get that search warrant. Because, yeah, like they ran the plates. It's not registered to anybody in Florida. They have to talk to this guy who presumably is in New Jersey,
mm-hmm.
you know, figure all that kind of stuff out. So if Kosowski bought this truck with this in mind, which we don't know,
right.
but it's weird that he didn't register it in his name.
Yeah.
I mean, then we're talking months of premeditation.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes through all of that, but then doesn't think that there are any surveillance cameras on the premises.
Well, it also could be that in doing the action, maybe, I mean, I know he's a surgeon, but taking someone's life versus performing surgery is different.
Yeah.
So possibly maybe he was in a bit of a state of shock.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I choose to believe that he's just ultimately dumb as shit.
There's that option as well.
Yeah. So he leaves all this video evidence behind. He does leave some blood evidence behind as well at the office. He is caught on multiple cameras going home. He leaves the truck at home with blood evidence inside. He takes off in his other car, this Toyota Corolla, and leaves a bunch more evidence inside of it for days,
mm-hmm.
giving the police long enough to build the case and secure a search warrant.
Right.
And then he's arrested. On March 26th, so this was a late night stop, and on March 26th, 2023, at 12:53 a.m., Thomas Kosowski is arrested for first-degree murder in relation to Stephen Causey. And that's what we had found out before we did our first episode on Steve. And, you know, we recorded that, again, in the hopes that they were just two unconnected situations because it had not been released who he was arrested for murdering.
Right.
The connection had been made to say that Steve's law firm, because at the time we didn't even know that it was Steve himself, just that his law firm was representing three of the defendants. But again, it's like, it's a civil case. And so I think that, you know, I and a lot of people were like, okay, yeah, there's a connection, but certainly nobody's going to get killed over this.
Mm-hmm.
Little more information has come out as well after Kosowski's arrest.
Kosowski was arraigned and officially entered a plea of not guilty. His lawyer spoke to reporters after the arraignment and said, you know, let's remember to keep an open mind. My client's a doctor.
What does that have to do with anything?
I have no fucking idea. It annoyed me, though, so that's why I wanted to bring it up. He's currently in custody in the Pinellas County Jail. He's in custody of the sheriff's office. Though we do have the full inventory list of what they recovered from the search warrant executed on the Corolla, they haven't released the full inventory list of what they discovered at his home. Now, the only reason why I know about the blood evidence and you know, things like that is because they used that information
to get the search warrant for his car.
Exactly. Because the probable cause affidavit for that search warrant has been released.
Now, did they execute a search warrant on his apartment in Miami?
I don't know. Mm. There's no record of that in the Pinellas County court system. So I'm not sure. And that I'm very interested in. One thing that we do know about the search of the home is that it led to a risk protection order. And I had never heard of that before. So do you know what a risk protection order is?
It's a way to seize weapons or any items that might fall into the hands of the wrong people, essentially.
Now, I don't have this officially confirmed, but one of the tipsters told me that when they were searching Kosowski's residence, they found upwards of 100 guns.
That's a lot of weapons.
It's a lot of guns. That led to this RPO, which makes sense based on what you said, because, you know, even though Kosowski himself is in jail, you have no idea who else has access to his property, who Correct. Has access to those guns,
right.
You know, who could be planning who knows what.
Yeah, exactly.
So it makes sense that they would want to get those out of there. There was a hearing for that on April 5th. I just checked. We're recording this on April 6th. And as of this recording, there isn't any further information on the outcome of the hearing or what's going on or, you know, anything concrete beyond the fact that there was the hearing on the 5th. And, you know, so I brought this up in one of the TikTok videos that I did. And you know me, I'm not a gun person, obviously. I mean, you are a police officer, so you do have a service weapon that mm-hmm. we have in the house and we keep in a safe and everything. But your dad, who is also former law enforcement, also collects guns, like including historical mm-hmm. World War II.
Collector's pieces. Yeah,
collector's pieces, right? And so he has, like, of the people who I personally know, like, he definitely has the most guns of anybody I've ever met.
For sure. But he's not like a doomsday prepper.
No. It's like, it's a history thing for him, for the most part.
Yeah.
When I found this out and I made a video about it, I got a few comments that are like, well, some people, you know, see guns as an investment. And, you know, I know somebody who has over 100 guns. And, you know, I got a few like that. And I was like, that still seems like a lot to me.
Yeah, if people see guns as an investment, they're idiots, because there's not a big ROI on guns. I mean
there can be, because your dad does say that he has some that have definitely gone up in value.
Sure, but he's owned those for 40 plus years.
Right.
I mean, investment versus time, you're not making a whole lot. You know, I mean, yes, you can come across some that are cheap that are, you know, it's just like anything. Mm-hmm. You can come across something that's old and the person selling it doesn't realize what it's worth.
Sure.
But that doesn't have to be a weapon.
Yeah. And so when your parents were here to pick up our kids last weekend, you know, I asked your dad, I was like, so I know you have a lot of guns. And his, when we started dating, that was before I was a realtor. So his safe was the first giant, like, Wile E. Coyote cartoon safe that I'd ever seen in person. Now that I'm a realtor, I've come across them a lot. Mm-hmm. But, like, that blew my mind. Like, yeah. I did not know that human people had safes like that in their home. And so I have no idea like how many guns he has. And so I asked him the other day, I was like, hey, is 100 guns like a lot of guns? And he was like, yeah, that's an insane amount. He's like, I have 35 maybe. And at his peak, he said he had like 45 or something like that.
Yeah.
So like if your dad, and again, this is all anecdotal, but basically I feel comfortable in my assessment that 100 guns is a shitload of guns.
Especially for somebody that was not in a career field that uses weapons.
Well, yeah, exactly. He's a
surgeon.
He's a plastic surgeon living in an upscale neighborhood, $1.4 million house in Tarpon Springs, Florida. He's not in a cabin in the woods. Like he's right. not in a place where like you would want weapons, you know, for hunting or protection or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think it also gives, you know, a little bit more insight as to
his mental state.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. It does.
And I'd also be interested to know like when he started buying guns, you know, if this is something that he's been doing mm-hmm. for years and years and years, or if it's become a more recent obsession.
Yeah.
So that takes us up to basically the information that we have today, April 6th. What I do want to mention is the Miami angle, which you kind of brought up earlier. On March 28th, the Miami-Dade Police Department put out a press release saying that they are officially involved in this case now. It says, quote, the Miami-Dade Police Department Homicide Bureau Cold Case Unit is assisting the Largo Police Department located in Pinellas County, Florida. Please see the attached flyer containing information on the victim, the subject, and the subject's vehicle, both in custody in Largo, Florida. Investigators believe the subject and subject's vehicle were in the Miami-Dade area between March 21st, March 26th, 2023. They are seeking your assistance with gathering any information regarding anyone who may have come in contact with a subject and or subject's vehicle between the aforementioned dates to call Miami-Dade Crime Stoppers at 305-471-TIPS. We'll put that at the end of the show as well, and we'll also put the poster on our social media accounts and on our website. So yeah, so Miami-Dade is now involved. So I'm assuming that if a search was made of the apartment, that they're probably taking the lead on that.
Mm-hmm.
They are also asking for anybody who was in the area between March 21st and the 26th to let them know if they have seen this red Corolla or Thomas Kozowski. And that's the biggest thing right now, and the message that I want to amplify. Like I said at the beginning, Steve has still not been found, and that is the primary objective at this point. I'm going to continue to do these update episodes as we get new information, because I believed on March 25th when I found out about this, and I believe now that, you know, I have this platform and I need to use it in any way that I can to help get this information out there and hopefully help in some way to find Steve and bring him home. So that's what we have for you this week. I know it's not our normal episode, but it's something that's incredibly important to me. So I appreciate you listening, and I would very much appreciate if you share the episode, if you share, of course, the flyer and the information that we're going to be posting on our social media and on the website, because getting Kozowski's face out there, especially to people in the Miami-Dade area, and getting the image of his car out there, I think is going to be really, really important. And so really anybody who lives between Tarpon Springs and Miami, kind of on that route, any information that you have could be crucial, no matter how insignificant you may think it is.
Right. You have to keep in mind that the police are trying to finish out the timeline.
Right. Yeah, we have a pretty good timeline, but we're missing days, you know.
Right.
We have the license plate reader on March 21st, but then we don't have anything between that and when he's, you know, pulled over again.
Right.
And that's not to say the police don't have anything, but they're clearly looking for more information.
Yeah, exactly.
So anything that you may have, like regardless of how insignificant, please, please, please contact them. Steve Causey went missing from Largo, Florida on March 21st, 2023. Largo Police Department is looking for any information on the following subject and subject's vehicle in reference to homicide case 23-002583. Tomas Roman Kosowski, red Toyota Corolla with a Florida license plate EMF-K38. Kosowski is known to have been in the South Florida area in the above vehicle between March 21st, 2023 and March 26th, 2023. If you have any information on the subject or vehicle, please contact Miami-Dade Crime Stoppers at 305-471-TIPS. That's 305-471-8477. You can see all of the sources for this episode along with photos and videos at our website, andthentheyweregone.com.
And be sure to follow us on social, And Then They Were Gone Pod on Facebook and at ATTWG Pod on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. If you like what we're doing, please subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. It will help new listeners find us. And the more that listen, the more chances we have of bringing someone home.
And we'll see you here next week for a brand new episode.
See you next week.
And Then They Were Gone is hosted by Kona Gallagher and Ethan Flick. All research, writing, and editing is done by Kona Gallagher. Theme music is The Stork by Ketza. Additional music is provided by Kaya Engel. And Then They Were Gone is a Little Monster production.
Hey, you can do it!
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free paint or exterior stain sample to test your look and find the perfect color to confidently refresh your space. Lowe's, we help, you save. Offer valid in-store only, 5/8 through 5/14. Limit one per customer while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See associate for details. Program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.